Hey, Mark. It's great to have you on the show again. And of course, I've seen quite a bit online of you talking about an upcoming record. And I know you took some time off. So talk about what Jag Panzer has going on right now and talk a bit about the upcoming album you're going to be putting out.
Well, we got a new album that'll be coming out here in 2017. We decided, you know, this time to really, really try to put a lot of effort into this album. The way we would usually do it, you know, I would get some songs together and then get to a point where I liked them and then unleash them on the rest of the band and immediately record it, which worked fine for me, but it didn't give the other guys a lot of opportunity to make arrangement suggestions and really get involved in the process. So this time we decided I'm going to take a couple months longer usually than I did just to really tighten up the material, and then we were going to demo everything. I mean, so, you know, we've been demoing all this. So we hit the real studio here in about 4 weeks. So, you know, we put a ton of effort into this record, and this is a lineup. You know, we did 70,000 tons with this lineup, Bang Your Head, Chicago, New York. So we've been out quite a bit with this lineup. So I'm pretty excited how this is all going to come out.
Well, it's interesting. It almost seems like you've had a completely different approach to this record, because, you know, the last couple albums that Jag Panzer has put out, you've really, in my opinion, it's your strongest material. I know a lot of people are stuck up on your debut album, but to be honest with you, I think the last two records are your best, and I'm curious to know how your approach differed on this record as opposed to the last one.
Well, I mean, the biggest difference this time is I wasn't going to work on a time frame. I wasn't going to say, you know, I have to go in and write songs and they have to be written within the next 6 weeks. I was just going to take as much time as you know, as I needed to. I wanted every song to really, really be strong and stand on its own, and I wanted everybody in the band, each person individually, to feel the same way about all the tracks. So it was really a matter of me starting out with these songs and probably throwing away 75% of them. You know, I work on a song for a few days and then just say no and toss it out. So it really gave myself enough time to focus and make sure each song could really stand on its own. But, you know, I had to give up a lot for that. You know, no going online, quit watching TV, quit playing video games, and quit doing everything other than working, spending time with my family, and going to the studio. That was literally it for months. You know, in fact, most of last year, that was it.
Right.
We wanted material that, you know, everybody in the band could identify with, and then everybody liked, and everybody could express themselves. I wanted to, you know, give a lot of space for Joey DeFoy. I wanted to give Harry a lot to work with, and Harry actually contributed a couple some really cool riffs and song ideas via my answering machine on my phone. He just would call up and just sing riffs, and those songs came out really good.
Well, that's the first time in the history of this show that I've, you know, ever heard of anybody doing it like that.
You know, it's from an old interview I read of Jimmy Page talking about how he used to work with Led Zeppelin. And I just thought, you know, I'd like to try that. And that was never possible in the past. You're always on, you know, we were always on such deadlines, and we have to meet different people's schedules. And so, you know, to SPB's credit, they, you know, they imposed no time limits on us for anything, which was really helped my creativity.
As I mentioned before, I talked a little bit about how strong the last couple records were. And not only were they very strong musically, but they were very strong from a production standpoint. And in making this upcoming album that you're making, Mark, did you think about that? Did you feel any pressure to did you feel any type of pressure from expectations of this new album sounding as good as the last couple records? Or when you were songwriting, did you really just not think about it that much?
Yeah, you know, the only things I think about the last albums is I try to do something different every record. You know, just right away you try to do. I don't ever want to follow a formula, or I don't even want to get close to getting into that rut. So right away, I said a bunch of things done differently. Like for this album, all my guitars, everything's coming through a mic'd up tube amp. I'm doing nothing digital on my guitar, you know, and I usually do some of that. So I just thought this time I'm going to go old school, cranked up loud amplifier, the whole thing. I decided I'm going to use a bunch of my guitars, just really going to make use of all my guitars. I'm really going to experiment with some different miking techniques. So, you know, a lot of different technical things are going to go into this album.
Well, it's interesting because when I talk to other bands about songwriting and when they go and record, they already have a setup in mind, and that's what they're going to go with, and this is it, and this is the only thing I'm using, and that's how most people record an album. But it seems to me that you didn't have that mentality from what you're telling me. You more or less just wanted to try all sorts of cool different things and see what happened.
Right. And, you know, I used to do exactly what you said. I used to say, you know, this is my guitar. I like it. I'm comfortable with it. It sounds good. I'm going to use it. And, you know, and that's worked fine for me. But I really want to try something different. So I'm going in with no preconceived notion as to which guitar I'm going to use, which amp I'm going to use. There's several speaker cabinets. No preconceived notions with speakers. I'm just going to pick what sounds the best. Don't care what brand name is on it. What techniques, you know, I'm not going to, you know, make myself stuck with any one scenario, you know, beforehand. I'm really, really going to trust my ears on this one.
So have you settled on a title for the album, or is this something that you haven't really gotten that far with yet?
The album's called The Deviant Chord. You know, I always love titles where you could sort of take it a number of ways. And so this one, you know, you can take it either way. You know, what do I mean by chord? Is it a guitar chord? Is it a DNA strand? You know, it's got a bunch of different meanings. I really like that in the title.
Right.
I do have all the song titles, but I hate giving out song titles before people hear it.
Right. Just rather do the name of the album and go from there.
Yeah.
Well, something to talk about. The last time that you were on this radio show, we talked about the reissues that were just put out, and I thought the reissues were very well done. I ended up getting the vinyl set myself, as well as the CDs, and I thought they turned out great. And how did that go over with all the fans? Now that we've had some time to digest it, it's been out there for a while, did you get a really positive response for this? And, you know, what kind of response did you get towards the reissues of the older material?
You know, it's probably 90% positive. You know, I really made sure with the record company High Roller that they were concerned about putting out a quality product, and they absolutely were. I mean, they were great to work with. They hired Patrick Engel, who's a great mastering engineer. So that was my first concern, is they weren't just going to put it out, you know, just as a cash grab. And I think 90% of people saw that. I got the occasional email that, you know, accused me of, you know, trying to cash in on the old albums for money, and, you know, you can't please everybody, you know, so
right.
I'm happy that most people seem to appreciate it for what it is.
Now, you talked about taking a different approach to this album, Mark, and if you had to compare this to the last couple of releases or even some of the past material, how would you compare this album to that stuff?
You know, what's funny is I worked on these songs, and then Harry came in, and you know, we're playing them for everybody. Most of the guys in the band think it's got a very old school sound. Comparisons to, and that's my other bandmates are, you know, making comparisons to classic Priest and Maiden and Ample Destruction era Jagdpanzer. I don't hear it at all, but you know, I'm so close to it. It's hard for me to hear that, because I know how I wrote and played during the Ample time period, and you know, it's very different for me now, so it's hard for me to make that comparison. But you know, every one of my bandmates has said that independently of one another to me, that it's got a very old school feel.
Well, you know, when most bands record records, and when you talk about the approach to recording albums these days, it almost feels like, you know, it's a lot of people, they don't care as much about dialing something in sound-wise. They're more interested in just, hey, I can get a direct signal, and we can kind of reamp it later, and you can fix it all in the mix. And it sounds to me that you're not that big of a fan of doing that, and instead you're a fan of just dialing it in and getting it right the first time, so you really don't have to sit there and fix it in a mix, you know, like most bands probably would these days.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of fixing something in the mix, you know, worrying about it later, and with this album, yeah, everything's going to be really, really worked out up front. You know, particularly with drums, you know, you hear a lot of people, just get whatever kind of drum sound, and then we'll throw a sample in or something later. And I said, I've never really been a big fan of that. And, you know, I understand why people do it. But with this album, it's really going to be taking the time to mic up a really good drum set and take time for simple choices. I'm throwing a tube mic on Harry's voice, and it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Lots of tube stuff on this record. I wish we could go analog tape, but that's just cost prohibitive, and
right.
I don't even know who does that anymore. I mean, no one around here does.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the trend back in the late 90s. Everybody was selling off the vintage gear, and the digital age took over, and people just weren't approaching things the same way. And now it seems like everybody's being more old school these days and approaching it differently as well. And it's like, you know, people dial it in and they just record, and they're using older gear now. And I remember an old preamp that I bought was pennies on a dollar from what it actually cost. And then all of a sudden, it's like now all that gear is coming back and people are starting to record with it again. And it's like the analog meets digital type thing.
Yeah, I sort of go, you know, both directions. I mean, I'm a huge computer guy. I have a bunch of computers, and I'm very comfortable recording to a computer. But, you know, I can also recognize what sounds better. And, you know, to me, I just like an old school tube amp with an SM57 and thrown in front of a 412 cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like that sound for an electric guitar.
Right.
But, you know, I know other people that... you know, full on digital, you know, guys like Chris Broderick, they get great tone with it, you know, but I have to go with what sounds good in my hands.
Well, so you said it's got an older sound to it as far as, you know, the songs go. And, you know, when I go and listen to a band's albums as a music guy and as somebody that's listening to a band's music again, you know, for the radio show, maybe they review it or whatever the case may be, you know, you may have that old school vibe sometimes from bands, but at the same time, you know, the album doesn't sound too old school, and you know, it almost sounds like you have a combination of both.
Yeah, Harry hears some same elements in our new songs. You know, like I said, it's so hard for me. I can't relate new material old material. I just can't do it. It's just not the way my mind processes the music, but. You know, I get feedback from all my bandmates always on everything we do, and you know, Harry says he hears some Thane elements in some of the new material.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Thane to the Throne. We Chris and I approached that like we were scoring a film, and it was just like a way different way to do an album.
You know, with bands putting out records, I always seem to like the albums that people really dismissed or didn't like at first. And the way I'm going to sum it up to you is very simple. Tainted the Throne was a band that was an album that you guys, I really didn't care for at first. And even though it was okay to me at the time, I didn't like it as much as the other stuff you had put out. But now I go back and listen to it, and it's like, wow, you know, I don't know why I didn't like this before, but I love it now.
Oh, that's the story of my whole musical career. I mean, I hear that all the time. I mean, you know, we did a reissue, Bart Gabriel did it, a reissue 2 years ago of Age of Mastery. And, you know, and even before he did the reissue, I was getting people coming up to me, I really like Age of Mastery. Or, you know, and now I'm starting to hear more people that like Thane. And it's sometimes it takes years for people to catch on to what we're doing. And not that we're doing anything weird or unusual or anything. I don't know why that is. I guess my theory is there's a lot of people that are convinced that Ample Destruction was the, you know, absolute pinnacle of our career, and so they don't really pay a lot of attention to everything we've done after it.
You know, a lot of bands fall into a stigma where certain albums, no matter what they, you know, everyone's going to say that they are better than anything they've ever put out and ever will put out. You know, for example, you can name various bands that have had great albums that were influential, but they put out better records. However, the fans will never give those newer albums the time of day. You know, with Jagdpanzer, for example, it always seems like Ample Destruction is the album that everybody mentions. And, you know, do you always find it that people will always kind of give you that typecast where, you know, no matter what you put out, that's no matter how good it is, it'll never be as good as Ample Destruction?
Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of it. I'm good at avoiding that myself, I think, because I felt so strongly against that for years, because I hear it all the time. I was talking to some guy last week about the new Tigers of Pantang, and he just kept saying, well, it's not as good as, you know, Spellbound or Wildcats. And I'm like, it's a great album. Oh, yeah, well, it is great. Okay, well, just end it there. It's right. Great. You know, you're not doing anybody any good with this endless comparison to something they did in 1981. I mean, it's great. You like Spellbound or you like Wildcats, but you know, I don't know the guys in Tigers of Pantang, but I'm sure they would like to move forward with their careers. And they did it by putting out a great album last year. So, I really work hard to avoid comparisons like that.
Yeah, it's almost like typecasting an actor.
Exactly like typecast, right.
So, now moving forward. So, the band, obviously you haven't had a release in a while. And, there was almost like, it almost seemed like 4 or 5 years ago, there was this, maybe 3 years ago, there was like this dip where like certain bands just were kind of sort of forgotten about. And all of a sudden now there's a little bit of a resurgence. All of a sudden people are like, oh, you put an album out. What are you guys doing? And there are bands now that are actually getting recognized, or they want people to put records out. And I almost felt like you guys fell victim of that a little bit. And have you seen any type of resurgence in interest for the band and playing shows and things like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, let me see how the best way to explain this. I think a lot of the resurgence is for really the right reasons. I think we're seeing people that are really listening more to the music and then want to see the bands. I see that. I'm a huge, huge Warlord fan. I'm like probably one of the biggest ones in them. And I just see everybody wanting, they post a show. They've got a show coming up in Greece this summer, and just people are just going crazy. I'm going to go to this, going to see Warlord, and it's really cool, and it's all based on the music. It's not based on, they don't have some extravagant light show, or they're not putting holograms on stage or whatever. It's just, it's really cool. It's a resurgence for the right reasons.
Seems like a few years ago, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, it seems that music seemed to be more of a disposable commodity where people would say, okay, I'll listen to this song for 30 seconds and, they don't really give it a chance. But now it seems like with vinyl selling a lot more, it seems people are paying attention more so and focusing on listening to the music as opposed to viewing it as some sort of disposable commodity, especially with reviewers. And have you seen a difference in that? Is that something that maybe you've experienced?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen it with it. I mean, I hope so. I mean, it's great because I think that we play the kind of music that is not going to catch you, that requires multiple listens and everything. But, boy, that's a tough one to answer because I know what you're saying, but I think that's more applicable to other bands than Jagdpanzer. We haven't done a release recent enough to experience that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I guess we'll see how the new album is received. There's definitely a lot of stuff on the new album that's going to require multiple listens. There's very, very few music that I like right away that has lasting power with me. Mm-hmm. So I hope people will give our album multiple listens.
Yeah, that's my mentality. That's why I can't do that. A lot of reviewers that listen to something for 30 seconds and it's done. And, I'll be honest with you, all the stuff that I like, most of my favorite records, Mark, I didn't like them at first. Or I was kind of like, yeah, it's all right. Then all of a sudden you go back a year later or a month later or a week later and I'm like, wow, what was I thinking? Why didn't I like this at first?
I'm that way with every Judas Priest album. I mean, in fact, the whole band, my whole life is, even when I was a kid, people would play me Priest and it's okay. And then years later, it'd be like, oh, what was I thinking? I just heard Beyond the Realms of Death. Why didn't it click with me right away? Or then British Steel comes out. It's pretty good. And then by the time I give multiple listens, I'm like, and now I just worship everything Priest does. I mean, it just, the whole catalog clicked with me.
Right. That was my sentiment with Judas Priest as well. The first album I heard was Painkiller, and I'm like, I don't like this guy's voice. He's screeching too much. And then, you know, Motorhead was like that too. All of a sudden, you know, I listened to it enough where I was like, man, this stuff's really good. You know, and yeah, I mean, they were really like that with me. So, you know, I'm going to talk, another thing that I've noticed too with the metal scene, and, you know, you started off when you guys had your debut record come out. I mean, that was kind of in the heart of when everything was starting to come out, and, you know, metal was just starting to become, you know, a bigger thing. But I've noticed that there has been, you know, when I go to shows, and maybe it's just here, but I even noticing going to shows, maybe other cities around me, that most of the crowd of people that show up, I mean, 3/4 of them are kids, you know, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. It almost seems like this whole genre of music, it just keeps carrying on. There's no, it's like there's no dip in it anymore. I mean, there's no dip in the popularity. You're seeing a lot of younger people getting into it. And have you experienced that maybe, you know, and people maybe that are writing you or checking out the band?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely noticing a younger demographic. I think there's always going to be an audience for metal. I mean, it's just, it's got more dynamics than any other kind of music I can think of. I mean, you can have, you know, bands like Sabotage doing a piano song all the way to, you know, just incredible full-on thrash. I mean, just the range of what you can do with metal is just great. And I think, you know, every generation eventually picks up on that. That, you know, they learn what metal has to offer.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool. And the past gigs we've done, the past couple of years, we've always had, you know, a good amount of young people come up and want to sign the albums or want to talk about songs, and that's great. I mean, that is really cool.
Awesome, man. So, hey, I'm going to, you know, end this off with, hey, do you have anything you want to say to the people that are going to be listening to this album and any of the fans that are going to be, you know, checking this out?
Yeah, look for our new album. God, that is such a cliche thing to say, but I'm excited for people to hear it. I think it's a really, really cool record, and, you know, don't give up on us. You know, we're always playing, writing songs, and check out our old catalog. We're a lot more than just Apple, and I fight that. I fight that weekly. I mean, you should read my emails. I mean, it's a continual battle. I posted something that, you know, sometimes Ample feels like an albatross around my neck.
Right, right.
And, you know, I just want people to just listen to the new album. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's fine. But just, you know, give it a chance.